The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, April 14th, 2013, for those listening live, and it's whatever time it is if you're listening to the recording. In either case, welcome. Glad to have you here along for the ride. And so I will begin today, as always, by the process of connecting. Both connecting me to you and each of us to our support team. So let's get underway. As we begin the process, as always, the first place to go is within, to connect to our own divinity, our own mastery, our own soul or oversoul or higher self or spirit, whatever you want to call it. Terminology is not what's important here. What's important is intention, and the intention is to connect with our own deepest well of power, well of awareness, well of truth. And so with that intention, just allow yourself to breathe deeply and open to experience. Open yourself at the physical level, at the emotional level, at the mental level. Open your entire energy field to an expansion of experiencing of your own divinity. And allow that to flow into all of those inner energetic connections that we call relationships. It's how we share our energy with others. Whether we are interacting with them directly or not, we are always connected to those we are connected to. So just allow yourself to breathe that aspect of your own power up into your life more fully right now. And be open to experiencing it however you are able at this time. Wherever you're at is fine. Whatever your experience is perfect. And knowing that we're going to keep this connection open to this degree, or even more so, maybe it'll open up more as we move on through our time together today. Allow yourself now to open in a different direction, and this time, typically we think of it as down, into the earth, to open up our connection with our mother in physicality, our mother of the physical dimension, our planet. And so open up in the way that works best for you, through the chakras in the feet, through the root chakra, through the cells of your body. However it works best for you to make this connection, go right ahead. And you're opening to breathe in her presence. Now that presence, as far as I'm concerned, always contains at least two things. One is her love, her energy of accepting you as you are. And two is her support. And I would call that her desire for you to be in your power, to know who you are, to express yourself and experience yourself fully. And so that's what we're opening up into, that presence that's always with us, but it's about opening up and expanding our awareness of the presence of our Mother Earth. And so allow your breathing to deepen, and once more, allow that energy, that love and support, that presence to flow into you physically, emotionally, mentally, filling your entire energy field and flowing that energy of support and love into all of those connections of relationship that you have. And again, just allow yourself to experience this, open to experience this in whatever way is there for you. As I do it in this moment, I feel one of my own go-to confirmations. Well, I know when I'm opening up, whether it's in a healing session or a massage or whatever it might be, a meditation, one of the first things for me that happens is the little muscles around my eyes relax. So perhaps you can notice any particular signs like that happen for you as you're opening. But it's okay if nothing comes to you consciously. This is about walking forward, trusting that we are opening in these intentions, trusting that we are opening in our integrity to do what is best for us. And so stepping within that intention, that integrity that we have, we move on to the next level. And that's opening up to connect with our divine support that is non-physical. The angels, guides, masters, teachers that we are connected with. And allowing ourselves to open to their love and support. Again, their presence is with us all the time. Their love, their acceptance of us, and their desire, that support, that desire for us to know our power, to know our truth, to know our divinity. That's what we're opening into. And so again, open up in the way that works best for you. Through the heart chakra, the third eye, the crown, the cells of your body, whatever works best for you to open. Allow yourself to focus there. And open those doors as you breathe in that love and support. All right. And allow it to flow into all levels of your being, your physical essence, your emotional experience, your mental awareness. Allow it to flow into your entire energy field, supporting you in every aspect of yourself, even those aspects that you do not have conscious awareness of. And allow that support to flow down as well into each of your relationships, allowing it to be present when you're interacting with others, allowing that sense of love and support to be a part of your life in every moment and every relationship. That's what we're opening up here, not just for this time that we spend together, but setting it a little bit higher energetically as our background, as our status quo, as what we experience in every moment. Every time we open up to it consciously, we build the muscle spiritually of being able to connect with our support. And again, knowing that this will remain open, as will the connection with our Mother Earth throughout the time we spend here, let's move and open to the next level. And that level is coming into direct communion with this community, direct connection with all the other participants, both live and through the recording, of Exposing the Masters Within. Each one of us is an integral part of this community, so allow yourself to open your connection to that relationship, to the relationship with this community. And again, open that in whatever way you'd like. But what you're opening to is, again, more support. It's support for walking this path. This path of self-empowerment, this path of awakening, can be a lonely path at times. And knowing that we have others out there, not just as a mental idea, knowing that there are other people walking a path that is similar to ours, but knowing it experientially, can help to support us even when we're not directly connected with the community in the sense of listening to one of these programs. But it's something that we carry with us because, again, every relationship we have is with us all the time, even when we're not thinking about or feeling anything about one of the other people that we're in relationship with. So the same thing here. This community is here, supporting you, supporting me, supporting all of us every moment. And so allow yourself to open into that and receive that support as fully as you're able. And again, open in whatever way works best for you, through the heart, through the mind, through the third eye, through the crown, through whatever pathway you feel safe to open more fully. And allow yourself to feel that energy of support, that energy of shared intention, the intention of empowerment, the intention of awakening, the intention of discovery, and even ultimately, as the name says, exposure of the master within. Allowing yourself to open to receive that in your physical body, in your emotional body, in your mental body, throughout your energy field, and again, even flowing down to support you in all of your relationships, all of your connections. And once more, knowing that we will keep this open throughout the time we share together, let's move and open again. And this time we're going to open to the community of all spiritual seekers, of all those who are walking a path seeking empowerment, opening into empowerment, who are seeking a path into themselves, and who in so doing ultimately are also supporting everyone else who is walking a similar path. And so again, open up to connect with that energy of shared intention for empowerment, of shared intention to support others in their empowerment, and let yourself receive the energy of that support. This is from all of humanity who is walking this path now. And because linear time does not typically exist in the way we think of it, I'd like to just remind everyone to open up not just to those seekers who are in a physical body right now, but to all of those who have ever walked this path of awakening, including everyone who has made it all the way there, everyone who has come fully into their mastery and ascended or reached illumination or reached self-realization or reached Buddhahood, however you would like to term it or think about it is fine, but ultimately it is full self-awareness and full self-empowerment. And so we're not just walking with others who are at a similar level, a similar distance, a similar place upon the path. We're walking with those who have already walked to the end of it and are beckoning us forward, who provide us inspiration, not only through any teachings we may have of theirs, such as the teachings of the Buddha or the teachings of Christ, but through their energy. They were trailblazers, laying down a path that we are seeking, not to walk exactly because they had their experience and we have ours, but to use the examples of and to come into our own power without having to figure it all out ourselves. And isn't that the reason we come together even here, so that each of us does not have to figure out every step for ourselves? Why reinvent the wheel, as they say? So allow yourself to feel that support coming in and filling you on the physical, the emotional, the mental, throughout your energy field, and even supporting you in all of your relationships, even the ones that are difficult, or perhaps especially the ones that are difficult. Wonderful. And one more step, broadening out the scope, broadening it back out all the way to the edge of humanity, to the edge, connecting us with all of our brothers and sisters in the human body, connecting us with that core desire, that core drive, that core need for something better. Some would call it hope, but I think it's beyond hope. Hope perhaps keeps us alive in those worst moments, but I don't think it's what drives us, because hope is very passive. It's waiting for it to happen to us to get better. But you wouldn't be listening to this if you were just waiting for it to happen to you. You're making choices in that direction. And that, to me, is a drive that is underneath all of us, or we wouldn't even choose to remain in body. And so let's open to that, that shared desire that all of humanity has to experience things as better than they are in this moment. And allow yourself to feel that mass consciousness energy, and to feel it perhaps amplifying that desire in you to move forward through action, through choice, through creation, through manifestation, step by step by step. Because that's what it feeds. It doesn't feed the past, it feeds the present, it feeds this step. And so allow that energy to flow into the physical, the emotional, the mental, within you. Allow it to fill your energy field, and allow it to flow into all of your relationships. For who doesn't want relationships to be better? And let yourself breathe all this in. Maybe stretch a little bit. Shake out those arms, those hands. Shake out the feet. Whatever works for you to just bring yourself present back in your body. Sometimes we go into the energetic and we lose track of being here as physical beings. And it's important to me that we don't forget that, that we keep it in context, that we are here not just to be spiritual, but to be spiritual within the physical. So many pathways, so many teachings, so many readers or speakers talked about, and some still do, talked about ascension as being getting the hell out of here, essentially. And that never really resonated for me. It was much more about coming into spiritual empowerment, spiritual awareness, awakening to that reality that's underneath everything, and living it here and now in the body as physical beings. And sometimes that seems like a pipe dream. And sometimes that seems like a slog, like, oh, trying to wade through mud that's up above our chins. And sometimes it seems like a dream. And sometimes it seems like an inevitability. And sometimes it seems like all of the above at the same time. There's, I'll call it a teaching. It's something that I've channeled on more than one occasion for others, and it resonated for me, so I took it in. And that's this truth. Well, it's my truth. Maybe it's yours. But because our essence is divine, it is inevitable that we will return to the direct experience of ourselves as that essence. In other words, we don't have to earn it. It's not about proving ourselves. Maybe it is to ourselves. Maybe I have to prove to myself that I'm divine. But my proving it to myself doesn't make it so. It's already so. And it's perhaps illustrated in one way by an analogy of a drop of water that's up in a cloud that eventually comes down as rain. And to get up in that cloud, it evaporated out of the ocean. And now it's up in the cloud. And it comes down as rain. And what happens? Well, depends on where it lands. Sometimes it lands right back in the ocean. Right back in the ocean. And it's reunited with that larger essence. Sometimes it falls on land and gets stuck in a lake. No outflow from the lake, it's just in the lake, like the Dead Sea or the Great Salt Lake. And perhaps eventually it evaporates back out of there, and then it falls down as rain again. And this time it falls on land, and it goes down, and it goes into a tree through the root system, and it helps that tree grow a little bit. And it's reconstituted later, and it evaporates out of the leaf of the tree. Now it's back in the atmosphere again, comes back into a cloud, and drops down once more as a drop of rain. This time, it ends up in a river, and it flows by a city, and it gets treated, and then it gets drunk by one of the humans in the city, and it becomes part of that person's body. Perhaps it hangs out in that body until the person dies, and then it goes back into the ground again. And now it's going down to an underground stream. And that stream flows into another, which flows into another, which flows into a river, which flows into the ocean, and it has returned. And we could certainly, I could certainly go on and on and on and on and on, creating other scenarios for a drop that falls, and it takes seemingly forever for it to get back to the ocean. It goes and lives in an animal for a while. When that animal dies, it's eaten by another. It goes and lives in that one. It goes here. It goes there. It gets evaporated. It gets boiled. It gets every conceivable possible thing that can happen to a drop of water. But it is a drop of water. And eventually, it will return to the ocean. And to me, that's what we are. We are drops of divinity that are here now. And we're feeling the distance to the ocean. But I would say that compared to a lot of drops, we have it really good because we've heard stories of the ocean. And we internally know that it exists. Maybe not all the time. Maybe there's moments when we distrust that. Maybe there's moments when we're in our pain of separation from the ocean, separation from divinity, that we doubt that it exists. But you would not be, I would not be walking this path if somewhere in our core there wasn't an echo of remembrance of that. And that, to me, that echo of remembrance is the spark that is the desire for it to be better that I talk about at the beginning when we do the connection process. It's that echo, that remembrance, that little bit of our divinity that we have awareness of, even if we can't name it, that awareness is there all of the time. And it's whispering, yes, yes, you are part of the larger picture. Yes, you are more than your circumstances. Yes, you are more than your trauma, than your pain. Yes, you are more than your past, than your history. Yes, you are more than the things that you judge yourself about. Yes, you are more than your insecurities. Yes, you are more. Yes, you are more. Yes, you are more. And so it's that voice that I think can be useful for what I'd like to talk about the rest of the time. As if this wasn't enough. So, I'll come back to that in a moment. Hopefully, drawing the connection directly for you. But where I'd like to go right now is into my own personal process. And I am quite excited. I don't think I have mentioned this yet on the program. During the last couple of months, I've, skipped out on a number of live shows, a number of live programs, and allowed recordings to play instead of being here live. Multiple reasons for that. But one of the things that I've been doing for the past couple of months is really seeking to clear up what I'm going to call my leftovers. Now, for any of you who might know me personally, or especially those of you who have visited me in my own home at some point or another, I have certainly had a tendency to be someone who piles things up in my life. And I literally mean things, and I especially mean paper. And that has, at various times, come to the forefront of my consciousness, to the forefront of my to-do list to fix this. And the first time I can remember it happening was probably close to 20 years ago. I was working on my master's degree in theater, and I had a very small desk. And somehow on the corner of the desk, this huge pile of papers had accumulated, things that I didn't quite know what to do with. And I looked at them, and I made a commitment to myself that I think I've maintained. I don't think I ever broke this. But the commitment was, I took that pile of papers and I put them in a box, and I said, these papers are never going to come back onto my desk again. And perhaps unfortunately, perhaps not, I wouldn't have nearly the story to tell if I'd done this right away. But that box sat there, and other papers that were of that same sort, things I didn't know what to do with, went into that box and eventually into other boxes and other boxes and other boxes. And they never quite came back onto my desk, although other piles would grow there. I think my desk is a paper magnet to a certain degree. Draws paper to it. That piles up until I eventually find another box to put it in. But anyway, as I've moved through the years, I've dealt with papers I haven't dealt with them. But I always seem to bring boxes with me of papers that haven't found their place. But what I've been doing over the past couple months is really diving deep into them and figuring out where they belong in my life, or if they belong in my life anymore, and organizing them and figuring out where they fit. And I'm getting very close. And in the process of doing that, dealing with the piles that have been in the boxes on the floor or the new piles on the desk, I have managed to go through and reorganize. I'm not quite finished, but I've managed to go through and reorganize 8 drawers and filing cabinets. And I've managed to empty out far more than this, but at least 3 of those cardboard boxes, those cardboard file boxes that you can buy at Staples or Office Max. And I'm getting very close to the end. And it's been interesting to watch, because the closer I get to having, as one workshop I took a lot of years ago was called Taming the Paper Tiger, as I get that much closer to having my paper tiger tamed, it gets almost to feel harder. And I think part of that is because I'm not sure who I would be without the weight of that paper in my life, without that hanging over my head. That, yeah, there's paper eventually, I will get to that. But what if there's no eventually? What if every piece of paper that comes into my life, whether it's one I print out from the computer or whether it's a bill that comes in to be paid, what if I deal with it right away? Or in a very short period of time so it can't accumulate with other papers on my desk to create a paper family and then have paper babies. And that does seem to be the case. I swear the paper magnifies itself that way by having children. But that possibility of freedom from something that we've been dealing with can be anxiety producing. It can be fear inducing. It can even be terrorizing of us, inducing terror. Because so much of how we define ourselves is through what we perceive as being wrong with us. What we perceive as being our flaws. And as long as we're holding on to those pieces, using them to define us, we know who we are. But who am I if I don't have that to define me? Breathe into that a moment. And if you have any, if you're willing to admit it to yourself in this moment, what are your paper tigers? What are the things in your life that you're holding on to that are self-definitions that are about things you perceive to be wrong with you? And just notice that. And give yourself permission to let it go. Not that you necessarily can let it go completely in this moment, but just step into the willingness to let go of one of your limitations, one of your self-judgments, one of your problems. And just notice if anything comes up as you do that. Is there a sense of anxiety? Is there a sense of new possibility? Is there a sense of relief? Is there a sense of, oh shit? Just notice it. Is there something that comes up as, well, take this step. This is the next step to deal with that. Well, I don't know. It's an interesting process for me because when I made the commitment to myself to clean up the paper, to get it organized, to get it off the floor, to get it out of the piles, I didn't realize I was making the commitment to go through all of my paper that already was organized to a certain degree in the filing cabinets. But I was. I didn't know it at the time. And had I known it at the time, it would have been a more daunting task. And perhaps it would have stop me from stepping into it. Probably not, because I have a large incentive right now. And sometimes it's good to have a large incentive, something very specific. And I have signed up for a workshop that I'll be going to this summer. And it has nothing to do with spirituality. It actually has to do with writing. And I believe it will help me to step up and do what I've long known was part of my path, but I've, well, we can call it resistance. We can call it using the pile of papers as an excuse to why I can't write, why it's not time for me to write yet, etc. I was actually, years and years ago, when I was first beginning this path and teaching self-empowerment workshops and doing mostly massage and energy work before the channeling happened, one of my clients kept asking me, badgering me, when are you going to write a book? And my typical answer was, I don't know, eventually. And one day I said, well, I'll start on that when I get a computer. And at that point, I was very much living hand to mouth and making the money and paying the bills, and that was about it. And so what does she do? She turns around and donates a computer to me. Well, unfortunately, I was not able to follow through. Although at the time, I did use it to write some articles for a little magazine that she put together for a few issues. And so I was using that as my resistance. Well, I don't have a computer. I can't do this. I can't write. I'm not going to write it all out by hand. And when that went away, it didn't fix things. I didn't write the book because I was holding on to the definition of myself as either being unworthy to write. People keep telling me, or kept telling me, you know, you have more to say. Get it out there. Well, ultimately, I would say that this program is part of that. When I first began this, one of my underlying intentions was that I would talk my way to having a book written, get the programs transcribed, edit them, put the materials together that way, because this I can do. Much easier than sitting down at a computer with my inadequate typing skills and putting it out that way. But anyway, this class I'll be taking at the end of July has me needing to get things done, to complete things, to get them out of the way, so that when I step into it, instead of it being something, well, I'll get to that eventually, I'll be ready to apply it at that time. At least that's my intention. That's my desire. That's my plan. And it certainly has energy in it, or I would not have gone to all the lengths I've gone to deal with the paper in my life so far. And that I continue to do in pieces here and there. And then I take my pause and breathe deeply and pat myself on the back for getting it done, which is one of the reasons why I'm still getting it done. Because I'm actually taking the time to notice the step-by-step in talking with friends. I'm celebrating it. Yes, I've got 3 of the file drawers now reorganized. Yes, I've got all the paper off of the floor into some sort of order so that I can figure out where it goes. I've done this, I've done that, the next step. And that self-acknowledgement to me is a very important step in moving forward this way. And so I'm going to come back around to where we jumped ship into this personal aspect of the story, come back to that part that is our connection, that echo with our divinity, that is saying, yes, yes, you're more, you're more. There's a wonderful quote, which I will probably butcher here because it's not right in front of me. But there's a wonderful quote by Marianne Williamson that often gets ascribed to, not Desmond Tutu, the other guy in South Africa. Anyway, but the quote has to do with, it's not our light that's, it's not our, the darkness that scares us. It's the light that we're, who am I to be so wonderful, so talented, so whatever. And there's a part in there as well. Who are you not to be? You are divine. And this process needs to be a process. I'd like to reemphasize that to walk a path is to take one step at a time. The next step. That's all we need to focus on. We will get there. We are divine. We will come into that full experience of ourselves as divine eventually. If not in this life, then in some other. But we will. And when we can hold on to that as an underlying truth for ourselves, at least most of the time when we're not triggered, it makes it easier to take the next step. Because we don't need to take the whole leap. If I had thought clearly that just by dealing with the paper on the floor and in the boxes, I was going to have to deal with every piece of paper in my life and all of the filing cabinets, I might not have started. If someone had told me when I was first going through massage school that that was going to mean I was going to have a weekly radio program on the internet, or was going to have to travel all over the country, or was going to have to allow myself even to channel, I might have stopped in my tracks, because it was a bigger picture in each of those cases than I would have been willing to look at the time. And so, in some ways, it's very good to just focus on that next step. But that is supported to the greatest degree possible when we have that big picture as well. That big picture that I'm already divine. This is perfect. I'm here to experience this right now, whatever I'm experiencing. On the path back to the ocean, on the path back to divinity. And so just breathe that in for a moment and give yourself permission to just take the next step. And when that step is completed, to take the step after that. And the step after that. And I'm going to write myself a note here, actually. Because, interestingly enough, I'm just now getting to the part that was what I thought I was going to talk about today. So I'm going to write myself a note, so that I can continue this next week. Because I think it's a very, very useful thing. And that is about completing things. Completing things. And what that means. And how to do that. To walk forward step by step on our path. And by this time next week, unless some of these papers have a lot of children really quickly, I will hopefully have that process all complete, tied up in a little bow, and feel very organized. And a little bit cocky even, perhaps. But, you know, it's been interesting to feel the extra freedom, the extra air in the room that's not taken up by paper on the floor. It's very cool. Very cool. Anyway, so take a breath and breathe in again to that permission to just take the next step in your path. And the next step for me, the next step for me is to do some toning. So the next step for you in this moment in partnership in this community is to just allow yourself to breathe while I do the toning and bring in our guest for today. Okay. Hello, dear ones. This is the Apostle Andrew come to be with you today. Welcome. I have a question for you. And the question is this. Why not make that next step a dance step? Breathe into that. Breathe into that. Now, what makes a dance step different than some other step? Well, depends on who you talk to. For those who like to dance, a dance step has more life in it than just walking somewhere. It has more life in it. It has engagement in it. A dance step, well, even if you're out there doing shake your booty kind of dance, you're typically doing it with others. Even if it's only with the musicians who are playing the music on your iPod, it's connecting. Dance is about connection. And even if no one is around, and even if you're not listening to music, and you break into dance, you know who's dancing with you? Your angels, your guides, the nature spirits, the devas that are around you, the animals, the plants. Dance is about celebrating. The Christmas dance, the homecoming dance, prom, celebration, dancing around the fire, tribal dance, celebration. Celebration of what? Celebration of life, celebration of now, celebration of being in the body. Yes, you can dance in your head. You can imagine dancing. But that's not the same as actually doing it. And, well, it certainly seems clear to many, although not all, that too many on the spiritual path, too much of the time, take it way too seriously. Oh, it's an effort. Oh, it's a have to. Oh, it's a should. I should meditate. I should do this. I should do that. Oh, dear Lord, why would you want to walk a spiritual path that was all about should? Oh, my God, I have to prove myself as a good person. Oh, I have to go volunteer. Oh, I have to give money. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, I can never get angry. Oh, I can never be afraid. Oh, I can never. Should in both polarities. Isn't that fun? Well, it can be entertaining at times, but it's not necessarily fun. And not that you should have fun, but here's the thing. You have the choice to have fun if you so choose. Breathe into that. I have the choice to have fun if I so choose. Well, it brings it right back around. It's your choice. You can slog if you want. Slog your way through your path. Make suffering your goal. We're here to tell you that's not going to get you anywhere by itself. Suffering in and of itself does not help. Sacrifice in and of itself does not help. Because they're not required. You're divine. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to sacrifice to prove that you're divine. Those who are suffering are not automatically more spiritual than those who are affluent. Those who are lonely are not necessarily any more spiritual than those who feel community. So, do a little jig. Or if you can't dance or you don't want to dance, try skipping. When's the last time you were skipping through your life, skipping through your day, skipping to get from point A to point B? For most, it's been a while. Because that's something that carefree children do. Those who don't have to worry, they skip. Wasn't it interesting that that word, for a kind of midway point between walking and dancing, called skipping. Skipping, skipping, skipping. It's also a term for not having to do everything. I skipped a grade. I passed over it. I didn't need it. Well, perhaps if you skip, you can skip some suffering. Perhaps if you skip, you can skip some slogging. Perhaps if you skip, you can skip the requirement for sacrifice that you impose, or that society imposes, or that the golden rule imposes. Have to put others first. Have to sacrifice myself so that they can have it. No child who refused to eat the Brussels sprouts or the broccoli ever caused suffering in another. Sacrificing themselves so that those in China would not go hungry did not work. So what are you willing to skip through today? What are you willing to skip over? Are you willing to dance your path rather than weigh yourself down? Well, in any case, the choice is yours. I have the choice for fun, if I so choose. I have the choice for life, if I so choose. I have the choice for divinity in greater degree, if I so choose. Step by step by step, skip by skip by skip, dance by dance by dance. Much love, dear ones. Skip your way through the day and laugh your way through the day and love your way home to the divinity that you are. Namaste, dear ones. Thank you, Andrew. And thank you to all of you out there creating this, and thank you to Doug producing at the other end. Throw those chimes on when you're ready. Yeah, just remember, everyone, I cannot do this without you. This is definitely a community creation, and I thank you, thank you, thank you for your energy and your input. Please let me know what you liked, what you didn't like, what you gained from, what you'd like more of. Topics, questions, anything you'd like to send my way, I'm happy to receive. Even, as I said, things you didn't like. So, I wish you a marvelous week. You never know where you're going to go until you get there, until you take that step, that next step, make that next choice. So I wish you empowerment as you make your choices, and play as you make your choices. Much love, my friends. Namaste.